Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 100, the fourth paragraph, Assuming We Are Spiritually Fit. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Laura R., Reader of the Text, Penny L.C., Dana P. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Shelley E. The reference number for Monday, November 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,119. That's 18119. And for this morning, Tuesday, November 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,124. That's 18124. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kathy S., and to be announced, we'll do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary P., gratefully recovering in Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Laura.
Hey, good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement required for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 100, the fourth paragraph, assuming we are spiritually fit. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Penny L.C. to begin reading. Good morning, Penny. Star 1, Penny.
Here I am. Good morning, Don, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. And for myself, I know it's not necessarily so today. My higher power connection provides a spiritual shield for me. So this protection comes from staying close to my higher power and cultivating our relationship. And my daily renewal depends on my actions of spending time in communication throughout the day. And then the resulting reliance and trust that comes helps me to know I will be safe and food will not have power over me. Now that I have done the step work to get right with God, with myself, and with others, I can be right in the world and right with food and right with relationships. I'll have clarity and assurance of what is mine and what is not, with ease and comfort. And the beautiful part is this peace and serenity humbly allows me to be in balance no matter what life presents. I will be by my higher power's love and grace, not only in food sobriety, but more vitally in emotional sobriety. I will have the resilience to not only be neutral around the food, but neutral around people and personalities. My spiritual fitness includes checking my motives before taking action. My best tool is to pause and ask my higher power for the intuitive thought of how to respond to a person or situation. My shield protects me from my past behaviors of reacting. And with that protection, I can go anywhere and I can be with anyone and I can be around any items that used to tempt me and not feel that same temptation. And my holidays ahead will not have to be about the food, but instead all about the gratitude. Today, my blessings are countless, and I'm thank-filled, and I wish all of you a blessed holiday season. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. I'll now be opening up the lines to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Sherry KB.
Sherry
Rod
KB.
G. Robin L.
Sherry KB, Robin L. And who is that other name?
Roz G.
Roz G. So I have Sherry KB, Robin L., Roz G. Did I miss someone?
Shannon M. in Washington.
Shannon M.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. Okay, let's stop there. We have Sherry KB, Robin L., Roz G., Shannon M., and Rachel P. Go ahead and start us off, please, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and Team Tuesday, and welcome everyone on the line. This is a great paragraph. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things that compulsive overeaters are supposed to not to be able to do. And, you know, to me, what does that mean by spiritually fit? It means that I have worked the steps, the food's down, I'm abstinent, of course, and I'm living in 10, 11, and 12. I have gone through the steps. I have recovered. And so, therefore, that means the obsession has been lifted. So that means that I can go anywhere and, you know, go to places, you know, places like wherever food is served, parties, whatever, visit people, have them come to my home, that I can go when I'm spiritually fit. I can go anywhere, and I'm not, you know, I'm more there to be of service and to enjoy the people rather than what it used to be like for me is to go to see what the food was going to be and hide in the food when I was there. That is such a difference today, and I'm so grateful for that. And it also takes me back when I'm in another fellowship, and it's not the one you think, and they had a potluck every year. Every year they had this potluck, and they would bring all kinds of stuff. And I always brought my food. And, you know, some people would look at it. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, and people would look at it and comment sometimes or ask me questions or whatever. And through the years, I did that. And then all of a sudden, I remember this one woman came up to me, and she said, you know, Sherry, I've watched you for years do this. And I decided that if you can do it, I can do it. And I'll never forget that. And it kind of started happening, kind of snowballed, where people were taking care of themselves. And I was grateful to be of service in that way. And it's just that, you know, I don't have to boast and show what I'm doing or whatever. In the beginning I did, before I got recovered, I remember doing what I call, tag, because I would call before I went to a place, and then I'd call when I got home. But, you know, I haven't had to do that in years, and I'm very grateful that I can just go and be of service and not be boasting about it, or just you know, be one among many and just be there. And with God's help, I can do anything. And that's the difference today for me, and I'm so grateful for that. And happy holidays to everybody. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. And now we'll have Robin L. share with us, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. This is Robin L. from Connecticut. And I like this paragraph. And I like the whole idea of our experience shows us that it's not necessarily so. But that's contingent on my spiritual condition. And if I am spiritually fit, then I can go anywhere and I can be safe and protected. A lot of times, go places and people will say to me, oh, just have a little bit. And I have a therapist who had said to me, I'm glad they ask you that because it gives you the opportunity to say no thank you. You don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to go into that place, but you can just say no thank you. For today I won't have it is my attitude. And I need not, like I said, defend myself or defend my position that I'm not going to have something that would harm me. And that gives me power in my life to work my program. And I mustn't think or be reminded. It said, you know, we shouldn't be all the things that people would think we cannot do. You know, I can't go to parties. I can't go to somebody's house. I can't go to my family for Thanksgiving, for instance. And that just isn't true. I sometimes do take my own food because that keeps me on my food plan. And I am at a place of neutrality today where, you know, anything can be served. But if it's not on my food plan, I have the option of just saying no thank you. And that's where I am today. And I'm grateful for my recovery and for all of you that keep me on the straight and narrow and in recovery. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving and thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Robin L. And now we'll have Roz G. share with us, followed by Shannon M. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your beautiful service. I'm Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Palmdale, California. And I'm just going to call out some foods this morning. But because I sit in meditation in the morning, because I work with sponsees in the morning, because I pray and ask God to help me and to, like, abandon myself completely. I wish I do that every day, but I try. My goal is to abandon myself completely to God every day. I was able to go to a small church group gathering on Sunday where the dessert table had apple pie, Patti LaBelle, peach mode something, vanilla ice cream, coffee, regular coffee with sugar and cream, you know, and I was totally able to fellowship with the people and not indulge in that stuff, not even want it, and to laugh and enjoy myself with them. That was such a beautiful thing. And for this Thanksgiving, my sister asked me to, you know, to bring a salad. And so I just happened to have a vegetable garden in my yard, and I just happened to have a beautiful head of emerald lettuce and some that's just waiting to be picked, and some carrots that are just waiting to be pulled out of the ground, and some peppers, confetti peppers, and striped tomatoes that are ready to be picked. That's my food, and maybe a couple of other things. But because I stay in fit spiritual condition, I can look at those foods and I can fellowship with people and I can bring my food. And as was shared earlier, I don't have to brag about it. I'm just another bozo on the bus. I've been using that term a lot lately within myself, not getting my way, not getting to do the things I wanted to do over the past couple of weeks. I've had to, it's a long story, but, you know, I've just pretty much remained at home and doing my normal everyday things. That means that I'm just another bozo on the bus and I'm nobody special. Well, I'm special in God's eyes, but you know what I'm saying. I have to do that every day. I have to sit with God every day. I have to transmit this information every day because it's not going to be absorbed. It has to be transmitted. And because I attend meetings every day and in the evenings as well, I have a fellowship to help me do it. So I'm grateful that this paragraph came right in time for these holidays where there's a lot of food. And there's people in these meetings who, you know, maybe haven't gotten to this stage. Okay, and I'll just say that they need to hear this. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Roz G. And now Shannon M., will you share with us, followed by Rachel P.? Good morning, Shannon.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service this morning. I haven't been able to be on a vision for you much lately because of job changes. So I was so delighted when I came on this morning, and this was the paragraph that was read because I had an experience. I've been having experiences that show me. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Washington State, and I'm recently recovered, and I kind of assumed because that going out to restaurants would be down the road. I was like, who would ask me to go to a restaurant anyway, you know? And after I thought that, within a day, two very close beloved people in my life, you know, asked if I'd go out to dinner with them. And part of it was the pandemic, but part of it was that, you know, I was afraid to go out to a restaurant. I was self-conscious of, you know, needing to eat differently. I didn't trust God that I would be okay. I just wasn't recovered yet. And so for 2 years, I shunned my friends and my family when it came to situations that involved food. And I was thinking a lot, as people were sharing this morning, about how my faith in God has changed, because I have faith. I'm every day, based on my spiritual condition, that I'm responsible and accountable for that. I can go wherever I need to go and wherever is appropriate for me to be. And if I'm in an unsafe place, God will protect me, you know, until I can get to safety. You know, I just have a new relationship with my higher power. And I went to a restaurant this week with friends. I stopped shunning my friends. I said, okay. And, you know, I realized how much of my life I've literally just copped out. I've left. I've gone. I haven't wanted to tarnish, in my eyes, my public reputation. I've been embarrassed, or I've been wanting to binge on my own. You know, if I was weighing and measuring my food, I didn't want to be seen. If I was binging, I didn't want to be seen. I mean, abstinent or sober, I was afraid, you know, and I'm no longer afraid. And I was really, really astounded. I was sitting at the restaurant. I was just eating the meal. I had called ahead. I had determined that all the ingredients were, you know, good for me. I had turned it over to my sponsor and had a plan. And that meal, while it was good, I did not enjoy it more or less than my regular weighed and measured dinner that I have typically most nights. And I was shocked. I had no idea. And I just, so I was so delighted when I came on and that was the paragraph that was read, because I just had that experience of true neutrality. So, and I was able to be there for my friends who really wanted that. So, thanks everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you, Shannon M. from Washington. Rachel P., please share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names. And just a reminder, if you're just joining us, we are on page 100, the fourth paragraph, starting with assuming we are spiritually fit, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only. So Rachel P., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. This paragraph is bringing back a lot of memories from the old days of restricting when I was in the binge restrict cycle and constantly trying new diets. And, you know, I wholeheartedly believed, especially when I was really in the restricting piece of my disease, that, you know, I couldn't go out to restaurants. You know, like this paragraph says, you know, we can't go where liquor is there. So I believed I couldn't go out to restaurants. I must not have it in my home. Like, God forbid, if I have any of those, you know, ingredients that I'm not supposed to have in my house, I'm going to binge them. You know, I isolated myself. You know, we understand that this is a disease of isolation. I would binge in isolation, certainly. I would also, when I was knee deep in the restricting and the dieting, I was isolating. I could not go out anywhere because I needed my food to be exactly perfect, because I needed, you know, to lose the weight or whatever it was. I couldn't watch commercials that depicted the foods that I wasn't supposed to be eating, because it would trigger the craving. And, you know, I, God forbid, I go to, you know, a friend's house and they have those ingredients, and it's all I can think about are those things. You know, and I'm just like thinking about the miracles of recovery and this food neutrality, and like juxtaposing, you know, when I was a young girl, I would babysit and I would go to these houses and I would binge the hell out of, you know, their, any of their, sweet treats, you know, because my mom didn't have those foods at the house. So I would go babysit, and I would like, it was all about the food much more than it was about the kids I was watching. And I later made amends for that. And, you know, now I'm in grad school, I'm finishing up grad school, and I'm dog sitting and house sitting to make extra money. And I'm going to these houses, and like, the food does not call to me whatsoever. It's not my food. And I bring, you know, my foods that I know I can eat, and I'm safe and protected because I'm addressing, you know, thanks to the step work, I'm addressing the twofold illness of the allergy and the obsession. I address the allergy when I take these foods out of my bloodstream. And then I address the obsession with these steps, with getting clear with God and, you know, coming to God with all of my problems. And, you know, that temptation doesn't even, it's not even there anymore. I'm safe and protected. I recoil as if I'm a hot flame because, you know, I'm spiritually fit and I'm practicing these steps. And most importantly, you know, connecting with God on a daily basis. And it's, you know, for those who are in the food and who are not neutral, please know it's possible. This is there for you, and it's all here in this book. And it's a miracle. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. from Colorado. And now I'm going to be taking more names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Who else would like to share?
Alice G.
Alice G.
Nikki P.
Nikki P. Okay, let's start with that list. We have Wendy M., Alice G., and Nikki P. Go ahead, Wendy, and please share where you're calling from.
Yeah, hi. I'm Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. John, thank you for your service. Everybody on the line, I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So assuming, I love that, you know, because what this program requires is honesty. Like, am I spiritually fit? You know, and when I'm jittery and afraid, when I'm scratchy and itchy, that's how I know I'm not spiritually fit. I'm pretty much in Wendy's world. And when I'm good to go, I'm in God's world. You know, and it's not perfect. It's not always, right? This is a process. You know, and when I'm not spiritually fit, I usually do a 10-step, make a phone call. Because God makes it super uncomfortable for me to not be spiritually fit. God makes it so. It says it in the book. And it's true. But let's just, you know, move on. So, right, my history before 21 years ago when I got in the program, a Thanksgiving would be me demanding that I clean the dishes. So that's code for, and everybody on the line knows this, like eating everything off everyone's plate. And more to the point, when I was in program but not recovered at all, it meant picking the apple pieces out of the apple pie and telling my sponsor that I just had apple for dessert. Because, again, this program requires honesty. So it also requires, if I'm not going to be honest, I'm not going to be spiritually fit, it requires that I'm lying, right? So my history absolutely is in the kitchen, absolutely just eating off of, like, frantically, not just eating, but frantically eating off everyone's plate. Today, the miracle is I have neutrality with food. And as somebody said, neutrality with people, it's coming along. It's coming along, emotional sobriety. But it's not, you know, food is not the deal. I mean, I have a 17-year-old son. We've got stuff in the house. I don't look for it. I don't think, maybe one bite would work. You know, and last night I was out to dinner with my son and my ex-husband. My son, you know, just, come on, Mom, just one bite of my tortilla. Just one bite. I don't understand. Why not one bite? And I always feel like that's God with a good sense of humor going, ha ha, are you spiritually fit? Or are you going to take that bite? Because I want to please other people, right? Or he's got this other meal that he likes. Mom, just take one bite. It's not going to hurt, right? Or my friends in Hawaii, just take one sip. It's fine. You know, and I just love God's like, how serious are you about this program, Wendy? Like, are you going to people please? Or are you going to actually, you know, do the deed? And the other thing I want to say is when I do go to, especially parties with buffets and things like that, but I would say every party, I eat ahead of time or I bring my meal. And quite frankly, the only people interested in the fact that I bring my meal might be people who have this issue as well. I don't want to say it, but it might be true. It's just been my experience. But I don't set myself up for failure. I eat my meal ahead of time. Sometimes I eat it in the car before I walk into the party because I don't want to be thinking about the food. I want to be thinking about, what can I bring to this occasion? How can I be useful to another human being? And when I do that, God cheers. God's cheering. But if I'm messing around with the food, that's not going to work. That's not going to work for me at all. I can't be useful. And more to the point, it's not helpful to me to be thinking about the buffet. It's just, it's not going to be helpful. It's a bloody miracle. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Now, Alice G., will you share with us, followed by Nikki P. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. I'm so grateful today to God for this freedom. And I love it that we're in this part of the book reading these paragraphs right before Thanksgiving. Is it odd or is it God? For me, I was contemplating this morning, and I think it's really a lot about acceptance, too. Like, I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater. Can I accept that today? And yes, thank God, I've been brought to a place of acceptance of my disease. And was it easy getting here? No. It was painful. I mean, I had to have many lessons with the food. There was a lot of stops and starts, but every time I relapsed, it got worse and worse, and the emotional turmoil made me more depressed and more suicidal, and I just didn't want to live like that anymore, hating myself and hating everyone around me. It took me to such a place of desperation, the food did, that when the pandemic was just beginning, a friend said, look, here's what I do, and this is what you can do too, and you can have freedom. I've been where you're at. And I followed those directions, and today I walk a free woman. I'm no longer chained to substances that contain sugar or flour or my alcoholic foods, which are many. The path has narrowed because I'm older, and I can accept that today. This last weekend, I was on a retreat, and the food was not, I mean, they ran out of some stuff, and so I had to call my sponsor and substitute some stuff, and and it was okay. I stayed abstinent. I wasn't tempted like I had been in the past to pick up substances that don't agree with me. So I felt a lot of freedom in that. And I can walk into a holiday meal. This will be my second Thanksgiving entirely abstinent, and be at peace with it. And my family has come to accept it too. Last year, my daughter said, "Mom, nobody weighs and measures on Thanksgiving. Come on." And I just said, "Well, I do. And I know a lot of other people do. So I'm grateful today that I have you all as a tribe that I can lean into. And we're doing this together. I'm not walking alone anymore or hiding in the pantry or in the basement in shame. So super grateful for this program and this paragraph. And yeah, spiritual fitness is possible, and we can go to places we've never dreamed of before with freedom. So grateful to be on the meeting with you all. Thanks for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Alice G. from Wisconsin. Now, Nikki P., will you share with us? And then I'll be taking some more names. We are on page 100, the fourth paragraph, assuming we are spiritually fit, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. So please share with us, Nikki P.
Hi, I'm Nikki P. in Northern California, and that's spelled N-I-C-I, if you're looking on the member list. I wanted to focus on, if a newcomer was hearing this, I feel like it could be confusing. And so I do think it's important to address that when, from my perspective, from when I first came in 3 years ago, and what I needed to do was very different from what this paragraph reads, but that's because I was not yet spiritually fit. I definitely needed a hospitalization period where I protected my abstinence, where I didn't go to restaurants, where I didn't go to parties, where I pre-planned my meals, took my meals with me, all of those things that we're hearing. And some of those things I still do just because it makes life simpler, especially, you know, eating beforehand and that sort of thing. But today, because I am spiritually fit, having followed the steps and done as my sponsor asked and built that connection with my higher power, those temptations are for the most part removed. And so I don't feel the need to stay away from restaurants or to avoid the parties altogether. But at the beginning, it was really important that I do that to protect my serenity, my abstinence, so that I could build that relationship with my higher power so I could follow those steps and do all of the things that my sponsor asked me to do. I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was simultaneously fighting temptations constantly because I was putting myself into situations I didn't need to be in. So I'm grateful today that I can go to those situations, that I do have a relationship with my higher power, that I do spend 30 minutes a day praying, reading, writing, building that connection so that I can be safe when I'm in those situations. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki P. from California. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share today?
Beth V, as in Victor from Pennsylvania.
Beth V.
Dana P.
Dana P. And I'll take one more name.
Roberta B.
Roberta B.
B, yes.
Okay. Okay, very good. Beth V., please share with us.
Thank you so much. My name is Beth V. from Pennsylvania. And what I'm relating to in this paragraph is the first line, assuming that I'm spiritually fit. And because I've always been a person who liked to work out and take care of my body physically, and I understand that, I have related that to, you know, how can I work out spiritually to become more fit? And that the Nike ad, "Just Do It," comes to my mind first because that's so simple, short, and sweet. And if I don't practice the ways to become spiritually fit, nothing will happen. So I must do it. And I must practice prayer, meditate every day, and practice the notion of practicing anything has to be done. I am very grateful for, you know, how I have learned to apply the grace of God to my weak points in my recovery, like my self-will coming out and taking over and wanting to run the show. I have to turn it over, and that's something I have to practice every single day. Just as if, you know, my heart needed to be exercised, I would have to do cardio. I have to practice turning my will over every single day. And by prayer, I think I'm filling my spiritual gas tank and or the bank. I am filling my spiritual bank with the prayers that I do in the morning and the beautiful moments of meditation that I have in my morning practice. That's what I use, especially, you know, when I'm around for the food or seeing the food or any part of that, smelling the food. That is what's going to save me during those moments of temptation. So I will say that the practicing that I've done has helped me so much in the abstinence, the relationship that I've developed by the work. It's taken time and effort, but I can also say I have reaped the rewards from this beautiful daily practice, and I would encourage everybody to just do it. Thank you so much, everybody on the line. I love hearing all of you. I appreciate all of you. And I will pass.
Thank you so much, Beth V. from Pennsylvania. Dana P., please share with us, followed by Roberta B. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you again for your service. Dana P. here. I'm in California. I am just loving what I'm hearing this morning. And also on the first meeting, just really enjoying this paragraph. And I may overlap some of what was said, but I really would like to speak to the newcomer today because I think it's really important, especially this time of year. The paragraph starts out, assuming we are spiritually fit. What the heck does that mean? You know, I'm coming into this program brand new. What are they talking about, spiritually fit? What is that? You know, is it exercise, as was the person who shared before? Well, yes, it's absolutely exercise. It's spending time and effort on my quote-unquote spiritual practice. And that is absolutely individual from person to person. And so, you know, we don't really begin to have this spiritual awakening, if you will, until we've worked the steps. So, you know, if we haven't worked the steps, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? If I don't, quote unquote, feel as if I'm spiritually fit, oh my God, what am I going to do? My family's coming over and I have to do X, Y, Z, or I'm going over there and I have to do X, Y, Z. And then it goes on to say, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. You know, what are we supposed to do? I mean, for goodness sakes, we need to be with our family. And I heard, well, you know, I have to stay away. But you know what? It's not always possible. And I was having a wonderful conversation with a fellow. We've become kind of outreach buddies. And I'm a vomit bulimic. I, you know, so clearly I spend a lot of time in bathrooms. And I remember going to, you know, shindigs and parties and doing the cleanup and going back and forth into the bathroom. And so, you know, one of my suggestions, and when I first got recovered and began getting abstinent and I was at work and I started feeling this restless, irritable discontent or whatever, I would go in the shrine room. That's what I call it now, the bathroom. And I would do a 10-step, you know, or I'd go behind the curtain and I would do a 10-step. I'd start talking to God. And if I needed to call somebody, I'd go into the shrine room. And I would literally, rather than putting my face in the toilet, I put my ass on the toilet and I would dial somebody, you know, help, I need help. And so, you know, I say, we don't have what we think is spiritual fitness. Reach out. You know, there's so many tools. I'm happy to leave my number at the end of the day, pretty available all this week, and especially on that very special Thursday, which is just another Thursday. So I'm going to pass with that. And again, thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and everyone on the line.
Thank you, Dana P. from California. Now, Roberta B., will you share with us? And you have time for like a 2-minute share, Roberta. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. That'll be perfect. Roberta from California. And I'm just so grateful. This is day 4 of my abstinence, and this paragraph is exactly what I needed to hear. And everybody shares today are exactly what I needed to hear. I'm just so grateful to hear about the spiritual, having my spiritual contact with God every day. I'm a little bit scared for Thanksgiving, but I know I'm going to do it because I want it so badly. This paragraph just reminds me of where I'm living. I have a partner that's a massive addict, sugar addict, and loves me to join him. And I've had to decide that that's not how I want to live anymore. I was in a different program for a while and was abstinent and gave that all up. And I'm not willing to do that anymore. I know what that feels like to be abstinent, and I know what that feels like to have things around that I don't need to eat. It's not mine. And what a great reminder, and just coming up on the holidays. And I lost a son in January. He was 35 years old, and I'm getting together with family, and I know I'm going to want to eat, but that's not my option today. So I just want to share that with the group. And this paragraph is really special to me today. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. And do you want to leave what state you're calling from? So, Roberta, if you want to leave your state.
I'm calling from California.
Roberta from California. Roberta B. from California. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
all right.
Thank
and thank you.
You.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone who shared today. Wow, it made it such a powerful meeting. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning again, Dawn. Dana P. here in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.